Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
The shooting of 16-year-old Ralph Jarl in the Northland a week ago has everyone in the Kansas City area and many people all across the country talking about the situation of this case, the specifics of this case, and where we go from here. And all I can think of as I'm following this case now that we see that Andrew Lester has pled not guilty in his first court appearance that lasted about 3 minutes long, where he looked disoriented and disheveled, is this really is a complete mirror reflection of everything that is wrong in America today. In one nutshell, in one moment, in one case in Kansas City, we see the worst of the division of our country. And the worst part of the division of our country is the complete lack of commitment or seriousness to doing something about it, to trying to fix it. There is absolutely no chance anybody on the left in this country wants to bridge the divide. They'll say it. We want to be together. America doesn't need to be splintered. We should all come together. Acceptance, you know, inclusion, all these things. They absolutely do not mean it. And this has demonstrated that. And there is obviously some bad stuff on the right as well as it pertains to this case. And I simply don't understand it. I don't understand how we got to a point where two people's lives potentially here are just completely ruined. And it's pretty obvious now the 84-year-old man's life is in more of a shambles and tatters than the 16-year-old boy who has complete full of recovery ahead of him, according to the doctors, and a full life to live. The 84-year-old man has nothing to live for at this point. He's going to be kicked out of his home. He's made that very clear. He's not going to be in his home. They want him life in prison. We're seeing really two tragic stories here unfold, but one is going to have a positive outcome and a full life ahead, certainly with trauma, all kinds of issues that young Ralph Jarl will have to deal with, whether that becomes fear or anger or, you know, possible mental issues that need to be addressed because of the horrific thing that he suffered. Those are all very real, but he does have a full life ahead of him that there is optimism that it'll be a full and successful and good life, which everyone believes he was on his way to leading before this happened, that there is a road to recovery and good things ahead for Ralph Jarl. There's no guarantee, but that is believed to be the case. But watching the people around this thing it's of course not as sad as the actual tragedy. You can't say that it is because somebody getting shot is just awful. Somebody getting shot at a door by mistake, by accident, by rage, by paranoia, by fear, by discombobulation, by disorientation, maybe is the best word. If that's what happened, that's just awful. Any of those things are just terrible. We all recognize that. But watching the people around this is just flat out discouraging. It's discouraging about where we're going as a society. And it's easy to lump America and society together. I do this all the time. I think of an American society. And we're an absolute mess. Andrew Lester goes into the courtroom. He stooped over using a cane. It was 3 minutes long. The judge spoke to him. Andrew Lester said, okay. He appeared, by all accounts, slightly confused. He told the judge about his house, I won't be staying there. So I guess he's going to be remanded into custody at this point. If he is let go, he's going to be staying with somebody else. His guns obviously are taken away. These are all good things. He's an 84-year-old man that clearly struggles living alone. This is something that people of my age begin to deal with their parents. And it's, I'm sure, something very common for you or somebody in your family. There comes a point in time where you're like, okay, in my case, and my mom doesn't really care. She loves where she lives now. And this would have been a great place for Andrew Lester to live, where my mom lives. I'm sure he would have been cherished and loved by the people in her senior apartment community. This is not some place where there aren't doctors, there aren't caretakers. Everybody lives independently, but there's a few hundred units in this wonderful apartment. They have a movie theater and all this cool stuff. They play cards 3 days a week. They all become friends. And things that happen to Andrew Lester with people knocking on your door, where you have a sign on your door that says no soliciting and basically stay off my lawn, I want to live alone and I'm kind of scared here living alone, doesn't happen in a big community with secure doors and all kinds of other residents around. Things like this just don't happen in those apartment buildings. And it's a great place for an 84-year-old like Andrew Lester, who's clearly not as sharp as he was 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's a great place for him to live, but these are difficult things for families to do. A lot of older people don't want to sell their home and move out and go live somewhere else. They want to die in their home. I think my mom wanted that. I've never heard her say that. I think she wanted that. When she was cutting the grass in her home and she broke her ankle and she crawled back to the house to call my sister, not 911, mind you, we had a long discussion and said, geez, mom, what are you doing here? Try this. If you don't like it, you can buy another house. But look at all these other people that are, well, in her case now, younger than her. Certainly, you might like this. Your friends have moved away. Your best friend doesn't live next door anymore. She's outlived most of all the friends she's had in her life. Let's make new friends. Let's try this. And she's just so happy. And you know, she wasn't kicking and screaming. She wasn't saying no. I think she suggested, no, I don't want to sell this house. This is our home. I raised all you kids here. But this has been a great, this was 4 or 5 years ago now. This has been a great move for her. These are great opportunities for seniors to start living a new life, gain new friends, do different things, and live independently all at once and not have the perils of cutting your grass, keeping up your home, having people knock on your door, Amazon ringing the bell all the time, all kinds of the stuff that happens in a neighborhood. And I can imagine, she's never said it, I can't imagine. My dad died in 99. My mom moved out of the house, I'm terrible about years, in maybe 2018, 4 or 5 years ago. She had close to 20 years alone in that house. I cannot believe that there weren't moments where she was scared. She never had a gun or anything like that, but I can't believe that she didn't have times where she was scared, where she heard something or somebody pulled in the driveway and she saw the lights. I can't even imagine what that would be like to be 80 years old and living alone. And of course you're going to be scared. Of course. But we can't and haven't, in light of this case, even remotely looked at any circumstances surrounding the man, Andrew Lester. Nobody wants to think about that. We all want to jump on what's easy. All of the media, all the politicians, everybody, you know what they did. They immediately played the race card. And they're doubling and tripling, quadrupling down, and it's just getting uglier and uglier. And as you see this man, if you can't have some sort of sympathy for the position he's in life, I thought that was, I was raised that respect your elders, cherish their wisdom from their years of living, and protect them when they're old and frail. And protecting them doesn't just mean protecting them from others. It means protecting them from themselves. Put them in a place, like my mom walks every day. She gets great exercise. They have an exercise room. They have video games that they do where they exercise. But when she walks in the hallways of these apartments and there's handrails everywhere. They're up and down both walls. She can keep one hand on the handrail while she walks. So she knows she's not going to fall. Or if she does, she can grab that rail and really lessen the fall. There's just ways to take care of people that are, I think there is absolute, I'm going to cry because I think there is absolute beauty in living a long life and becoming frail. And if you become 90 years old or 100 years old and you don't think like or remember like a 20-year-old or in this case a 16-year-old, God, there's just a beauty and a blessing in that. It's gorgeous to see that you're healthy and you're living and you enjoy life and you have friends. And things are good and most of your life is great. And every now and then, yeah, you misplace something. You don't remember where something is. You're not the person you were when you were 25. There's beauty in that. My God, why can't we celebrate that? I thought that was the mission of life and family. Honest to God, I thought that's what it was all about. And now, because a 16-year-old has suffered something horrific that he's going to have to deal with emotionally the rest of his life, these people want to ruin an 84-year-old man. That is their goal. And they're doing it because they say he's a racist. He's an 84-year-old white man, and we're taking him down. Lee Merritt is the civil rights attorney that is speaking about this case on behalf of Ralph Yarrell. And this is what he said. He acknowledged that the man in the courtroom seemed confused, but he doesn't care. He said, it doesn't look as confused enough to me to have justified a mistake like this. Merritt, the civil rights attorney for Ralph Yarrell, said of the 84-year-old man, before there's any trial, before we even know were there fingerprints on the door, I mean, there's some things to this case. The old man says the kid was reaching for the door and trying to open it. That's why he fired. The kid said, I never touched the door. Lee Merritt, the attorney, says, Ralph never touched the door. Then he said, but even if he did, ... So we don't know. This is going to be really easy for the police to find out. Did Ralph Yarrell have fingerprints on the glass storm door? If he did, then Andrew Lester's account of this thing at least is accurate. We'll know that. Are his fingerprints on that door? That's a simple one for cops. That's policing 101. That's going to be very easy in an honest investigation to find out. Were Ralph Yarrell's fingerprints on that door? Easy stuff. We're going to find out. Now the attorney's saying he didn't touch the door, but even if he did, ... I don't know. Those are the semantics of the case. I don't care about the case. The man should never have shot him. Andrew Lester should never have done what he did. My gut tells me this was a confused, scared old man living alone that panicked and isn't a very good shot. To be quite honest, not surprising there. But what does the attorney say? What does this guy say? What does Lee Merritt do in the name of perpetuating racism and division in America? Because that is the most important thing to continuing to get votes if you're a Democrat. You must keep racism alive in America. You have to have people believe that there is vile, disgusting, wake up every moment I'm white and I hate black people race in America. You have to keep this going. And Lee Merritt says, yeah, he looked confused, but I don't care. And here's the quote. Lee Merritt says of Andrew Lester, the 84-year-old man whose life is ruined now clearly too. Two people made mistakes. Both lives appear to be in free fall. Merritt says of the 84-year-old man, quote, I want him to spend the rest of his life in prison. All of his assets are going to be Ralph's. Wow. We want to lock this man up the rest of his life, and we're taking everything he owns and giving it to the kid. We have no hope to fix this in this society. We have no hope. That is the least compassionate thing I've ever heard. Prison? You're going to put this man in with hardened criminals 50, 60 years younger than him? What needs to happen if they find him guilty is put him in a home somewhere. Whatever that is, put him in a home with other seniors. If it's decided that he's confused or was angry or discombobulated or disoriented, and that's how this happened, you put him in a home. I'm sure, I don't know about the facilities, I'm sure there's some facility somewhere in Missouri where you put elderly people that are dangerous to others because they are disoriented or old or whatever. He doesn't belong in a state prison. No matter what the outcome of this is, he doesn't belong in a state prison. He can't survive in there. We talk about what Democrats are doing all over the country with releasing 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old hardened criminals that have robbed, beaten, stolen, raped over and over and over. And we just keep letting them walk out on the streets to keep doing what they're doing. But this is the guy that you want to put in a prison the rest of his life? There has to be something better than that for him. Even if it's state-controlled, convict him. If he committed a crime, I am completely in support of the justice system here. And I do think there are laws on the books, and I believe he'll get a fair trial. I do. I think they can find a jury that will be fair and come up with a fair sentence if he's convicted. I believe that. I believe in the system here. I don't think this is rigged like Alvin Bragg in Manhattan bringing Donald Trump in. I think he can get a fair trial. I think they'll look at the facts. But we're sitting here convicting, wanting to lock up for life, and then how in the world can you be any kind of person that gets quoted in the media when you say all of his assets are going to be Ralph's too? I'm not trying to bring you down today. I'm just trying to be real with where we are. I can't believe this is where we are as a people, as a country, as a society, that we would think of the elderly in this way. This is 99-1, the most lopsided story I can ever remember. And we have a person whose life is clearly spiraling out of control, that lived in fear, no doubt, as an 84-year-old man, was scared when he was asleep and awakened by the doorbell, and likely committed a crime here and should be punished for that. We can talk about whether his family should have helped him, whether some people should have intervened, whether he should have been living alone. There's a million things. We should talk about whether the family should have taken his guns away from him. We can talk about whether or not people of this age and this stature, you know, should even remotely be allowed to have a firearm, whether they can handle it properly. All of these things are fair. But just saying we're going to ruin this person, we're taking him down, we're taking everything everywhere from him, his freedom, his assets, we're taking everything from him and ruining him because we think he's a racist, is disgusting. The Kansas City Star won't stop. Their big headline is fear and paranoia. They found a grandson that's a liberal. Oh my God, what a sweet spot for the Kansas City Star. The grandson of Andrew Lester says, I stand with Ralph. He goes on and says, you know, my grandfather's pretty much stock Fox News stuff. He's to the right. I've gained my own political views over the last few years, and I don't agree with him. Stops short of calling him a racist, but says, yeah, he's got some bigoted stuff to him, you know, pretty much stock Fox News stuff. So they found a committed liberal grandson here, wait for it, who's judging this man. And it's the lead story in the major newspaper, which then becomes the national story for all the liberal outlets to pick up and regurgitate this information, which is what they'll do. Wait for it. Here's the context that's never, it's paragraphs down. And I can't believe the Star even put it in there. I think they put it in by accident because they don't think anybody's smart enough to put two and two together. Oh, wait for it. This grandson says he's lost touch with his grandfather and hasn't really talked to him in 5 or 6 years. Oh, really? So your grandfather was in his 70s the last time. You're judging what he is today based on something you knew what when he was in his 70s. How do you know what he is today? You don't. The answer is you don't. This grandson's brother has also spoken. It's buried in the story. He said, look, this is just the saddest thing ever. A lot of mistakes here were made all the way around. It's a tragedy. But race is not a factor in this. My grandfather is not a racist, and he never would have fired. This is the other grandson. He never would have fired if Ralph hadn't gone for the door. That he believes that. And I think that is a key to this case. I think a big key is, did he reach for the door? I'm not talking about legally. I'm just talking about the court of public opinion. We can all understand if a locked storm door is there and somebody's at your door pulling on that door that you don't know after you've opened the main door, you can understand why if you lived alone, you'd be frightened that that person is coming in. No matter who that person is, black, white, whatever, it doesn't matter. I think we can all, that does, maybe doesn't legally justify anything. It's probably still a crime. We'll have to see. I'm not a lawyer. But we can all understand Andrew's situation if the young man was grabbing the door, trying to open it like he was coming in. That's a different deal. So one grandson is saying that. A nephew is saying, look, Andrew's a decent person. He's not a racist. But they'll all agree he's an old man. He's a feeble old man that can be a little disoriented. So I guess we'll find that out. They also seemingly want to go around and now hammer Republicans or people that weren't commenting. What happened? This is equally sad. What happened to patience and waiting on something like this? I got clobbered by people on Twitter that I said, look, we should be celebrating that Ralph is healthy, okay? And it's possible two people made a mistake here, and this is a terrible thing, but let's wait and find out all the facts and see what happened. And people just don't want to hear that. The governor of Missouri, Governor Parson, waited several days before commenting on this. He finally gave a comment on Wednesday and said, this is just a terrible situation. It's awful. And they followed up and they're asking, like, well, why did you wait so long? And he goes, because you don't politicize stuff like this. Parson said, Parson's law enforcement background. He's like, you don't politicize this. I'm the governor of Missouri. I'm not politicizing this. I believe in the legal system and the justice system. Let's let this play out. The cops did their job. They've arrested the man. Okay. He went before the judge. It's working. Let's just everybody take a chill pill here, Parson says. And that's not enough. The liberals in the media just keep firing questions at him. And he goes, okay, you want to know the truth? Here you go. I didn't speak because the president of the United States is making a political statement over a very serious tragedy, and it's so unfortunate. That's what Parson said. He spoke the truth. While everybody on the left is out there making political statements about this, what am I going to add to this? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play this thing out like the crazy people on the left. Good for you, Governor Parson. Stand your ground. Parson hammered home that let's gather the facts. It's exactly what I've been saying. And that's not a cop-out. I'll leave open the possibility that this guy is a racist. There may be 84-year-old guys living alone that are more scared of a black dude than a white dude. And if that's the case, shame on him. But I'm telling you, until I'm 84 and frail and a little disoriented and scared living in my home, I can't speak for the man. I thought, just as we should look out for people's equal rights based on skin color, we should be looking out for the rights of the elderly. I thought that's what a good society did. Take care of the weak and most vulnerable among us. I thought that's what we do. We've given up on that. We're now choosing which subgroup of people that either really do or are perceived to need a hand up or help. We're not choosing one over the other. We're not saying, we're not doing this the Christian way, that we'll help all. We'll be good to all. We're not doing it that way. We're picking and choosing what's more important. And clearly the left wants to make a very strong point that it is more important to support anybody with black skin over somebody that's elderly and frail. That's just, we're not even going to have that discussion. That's easy. You got black skin, that is way, you need way more help from society and the government and everybody. You need way more help than somebody who's frail and 84 years old. The whole story makes me sad. It really does. I was going to spend some time today before all of this new news came out on this thing about the Republican Party perhaps changing its name. I'd love your feedback on this. If you have any ideas or thoughts, it was spurred on. I talked about this on a Patreon podcast yesterday. It was spurred on by the woman who was in front of Jim Jordan's committee. Remember the woman who lost her son and then the criminal got out and whatever. She was very impassioned. She spoke about a whole bunch of different stuff. The actual content of her statement had very little to do with this. It wasn't a throwaway line. It was an important line. It was the one I took away from everything that she said. She said she's got all kinds of black friends that she thinks are conservative but won't vote for Republicans. She says, I tell them you got to vote for Trump. I tell them here's what Trump stands for. She goes, well, I like that, but Republicans are racist. I can't vote for him. The name Republican is racist. We saw the two gentlemen that were paid by Jesse Smollett to put on the hoax in Chicago from Africa, from West Africa, that live in Chicago. They said the same thing. Everybody from West, all the people they know in their country are conservative, but they hate Republicans. They don't like the name, or they won't vote for Republicans. They don't like the name Republican because they think Republican equals racism. This is unbelievable marketing on the part of the Democrats. Clearly, black people don't know the history of the Republican Party. Abe Lincoln, the Civil Rights Act, which the Republicans passed. Democrats were the ones against it. Republicans outvoted Democrats for the Civil Rights Act. I don't think very many black people know that. The Republicans have done a terrible job letting people know that. I think a name change is in order. I think they better rebrand. I think the Democrats have done irreparable harm on stuff like this, and you know, they'd better figure something else out. We'll do that somewhere down the road, but I'd love to hear your thoughts of that. KKHI is brought to you by Great Life Golf. Got some great information here from Kirsten over at Great Life. She's awesome. They have four Great Life brands, Signature, Premier, Classic, and Destination courses. Did you know Great Life Golf now, if you're a member, you have access to their properties in Hilton Head, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, and more. Wow, you're going to have access to 58 Great Life properties through a member-only booking portal. That's unbelievable. They have merged with Brown Golf in the past year, but it's the same Great Life Golf here in Kansas City. You just now have access to many more courses around the country. Signature clubs include Staley Farms, Prairie Highlands, Falcon Ridge, and Tallgrass. They have a limited number of available memberships this year. Canyon Farms is full, but the other ones have limited numbers of memberships available. Premier clubs like Drum Farm and Willow Bend in Wichita, destination courses like Holiday Hills in Branson, Osage National at the Lake of the Ozarks, and then the Classic Clubs, which is the lower level membership that you can get in for a very low price, including Blue Springs, Royal Meadows, Shiloh, Painted Hills, and Meadow Lake. Go to greatlifegolf.com for more information. Just go there and check it out. They're building and refurbishing the clubhouse at Prairie Highlands. They take great care of their golf courses. You can play more golf this year with Great Life Golf online at greatlifegolf.com. We encourage you to check that out no matter where you live. 58 total courses now in the group. Amini's Galleria online at aminis.com. 105th and Metcalf, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. Their annual outdoor furniture tent sale goes through Sunday this week. 60 months, no interest financing at Amini's Galleria. Go check it out. They also have game room, pinball machines, golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard. I've got an Amini's shuffleboard table in my basement. Hot tubs and saunas as well. Right now, it's the outdoor furniture tent sale through Sunday, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Mention KKHI when you go in there and check out all the great brands across all kinds of different price points at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf. And my buddy Spencer over at the Finch Knife Company, finchknifeco.com. Available in three or four locations around Kansas City like Shields, The Bullet Hole, and Teague Tractor in Belton. Online at finchknifeco.com. Right now, it's that Hatfield collection they're promoting. And soon, the McCoy, the matching McCoys. Well, not exactly matching. It's going to be a Hatfield and McCoy collection. The Hatfield collection is available now. The McCoys are coming. FinchKnifeCo.com. These are wonderful tools and a great thing to just keep on you at all times. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife. They're gorgeous. These are just gorgeous knives. They even have a little sense of humor. Every Finch knife that you purchase comes with a Band-Aid because they're that sharp. These are awesome knives. FinchKnifeCo.com. Appreciate them. And, of course, everything they do with KKHI. All right, I got a couple of pieces of sound I want to play for you today. This is going to be fun. The first is, well, it's a beauty. There's not much to say other than I'm in love with Riley Gaines. I got a total girl crush, man crush. I don't know, what do you have? I don't love her like that. I just love her. I love that Riley Gaines was going to be a dentist. And then all of a sudden she said, well, I'm married. I got a husband. We're going to have kids and we'll probably have a daughter. And I want my daughter to be able to compete in sports against girls and women, not against men that say they're women. And she is Leah Thomas's and transgender sports worst nightmare. And she is not stopping. She took to Twitter and put a video of Leah Thomas on there. This is the man that swims and beat Riley Gaines. Riley Gaines is a 12-time NCAA champion. Sage Steele from ESPN retweeted this. She's suing ESPN for being, well, conservative and working at ESPN, and they don't like that. Basically, that's what she's suing ESPN for. But she's still there, and she retweeted what Riley Gaines put out, and that is basically, this is unbelievable audio. This is Leah Thomas saying that the federal government wants to pass something that protects kindergarten through eighth graders, that they can be boys playing in girls' sports, but after eighth grade, they can't, which seems to be the cutoff line. That's what Missouri's doing. This seems to be the cutoff line. It's like, okay, once you get to eighth grade, no more boys in girls' or women's sports. That's it, all the way up through the professional ranks. That seems to be what most states are doing. And now there's federal legislation through Title IX that will protect women in this, and Leah Thomas doesn't like that much. This is only about a minute long, but you got to hear this. This is spliced and edited because Leah Thomas apparently can't speak for a minute without needing edits. But this is, just listen to this. This is not a woman speaking.
My name is Leah Thomas. I'm a transgender woman, a former college swimmer, and the first trans athlete to be named Division I NCAA champion. I started swimming when I was 5 years old. It has taught me so much. It has given me so many opportunities to learn, grow, develop, and connect with my peers. Opportunities that I wouldn't have gotten if I didn't have access to athletics. That's why it breaks my heart to see trans kids across the country lose out on these opportunities. The Department of Education has proposed a new rule for Title IX regarding transgender athletes. This rule would prohibit blanket bans on transgender kids, especially in grades K through 8. However, it would not prohibit discrimination against trans kids in the high school and college levels under the guise of competitive fairness. This rule is a good start. However, it is not enough. During this time of intense anti-trans backlash, the trans community needs explicit protections from discrimination in order to live our lives freely and equally. Luckily, this rule is not final. We have a 30-day period to urge the Biden administration to amend the rule and grant equal protection for all transgender kids, because all trans kids deserve the opportunity to compete and play in the sports they love without compromising who they are. Join me in commenting on this proposed rule and demanding equal protection for all transgender athletes.
Yeah, that's Leah Thomas, and I just thought, we won't spend a lot of time on the topic. I thought you'd want to hear her voice, if you hear his voice, hear that voice, if you haven't, because I just find that absolutely remarkable that Leah Thomas swims with women and talks like that. There's nothing. There's no sex change. There's nothing here. That's a man with long hair that he paints red or pink and gets in the pool with his penis and swims against women. That's where we are. Here's where we are in the Senate. John Fetterman from Pennsylvania is back. And somehow, after his therapy, he's chairing some sort of committee. This is unbelievable. You're going to love this audio. This is John Fetterman, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, back from his health stay, whatever it was, allowed to have the gavel in hand, chairing some sort of agricultural committee. Listen to this.
I called this hearing of the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Food and Nutrition, Specialty Crops, Organics, and Research to order. Chairwoman Stabenow. And Ranking Member Boozman, thank you so much for coming. I thank you for your leadership on this committee, and I look forward to working with you to pass a farm bill. A farm bill that works for small farmers, rural communities, and hungry Americans. I would also like to thank my Ranking Member, Senator Braun. And I look forward to working closely with you. SNAP is one of the most effective programs to fight hunger and poverty in the country. In my time and effort in IFAS, as the mayor of Braddock to lieutenant governor to now, I have heard from Pennsylvanians about their support for a SNAP.
I mean, you're kidding, right? John Fetterman? Oh my gosh. Oh, what is happening, folks? What in the world is happening? Whew. Fetterman ain't there, still isn't there. Come on, let's not chair any committees. Allow an aide to sit there with him and make sure he casts his votes. He's going to go Democrat, full Democrat on every vote, no matter what. Great, you got the seat in Pennsylvania, but no more charades like this. No more Fetterman speaking into the microphone. Absolutely ridiculous. Peter Ducey from Fox News on Wednesday asked Karine Jean-Pierre about an event they'll be having Monday at the White House. Remember the three lawmakers in Tennessee who created a ruckus and allowed the public to have an insurrection in Tennessee? People came in, public demonstrators came in, and the cops had to disperse them and fight them off so they didn't get into the chamber. But the three members of the legislature went into the chamber and raised hell inside there as well. Remember these three people after the shooting in Nashville, in suburban Nashville? Remember these people, the insurrectionists that took over. Biden is welcoming the three insurrectionists to the White House next week on Monday. These are the lawmakers, one who's a complete fraud, who's completely changed the way, well, he might as well be a trans, although he stayed man to man, but a complete change in 2 years to win in the district that he's in and basically look like a, well, it doesn't matter. You've seen that story likely. It's crazy. Change the way he speaks. It's just a joke, what these people do. It's like they're all actors on the left. They're characters of some sort. You know, AOC was, I won't say she was the first, but she's a character. That's not who she is. I've heard her speak like a black woman. I've heard her speak like she speaks Spanish. And I've heard her act like she's the, you know, preppy little rich suburban girl that she is. She grew up a rich girl in the fanciest neighborhoods. In what, Connecticut? No, New York, Westchester. High, tall cotton, rich people. She's a rich girl. She's a chameleon. She's got all these different characters she plays. That's what they do on the left. And that's what these people are. And Joe Biden's going to have them to the White House. So Peter Ducey asked Karine Jean-Pierre, on Monday, three Tennessee lawmakers are going to be welcomed to the White House. Just wanted to see, have any of the victims of that shooting or the families of those victims been invited to the White House? Oh, was this uncomfortable for KGP? And she didn't look up at Peter Ducey. She kept her head down and she looked over the top of her eyes, like across her eyebrow. And she says, I don't have anything to read out on that. You know, she has a book where she's asked a question that she knows is coming. She turns the page and she reads the answer. It's just such a joke. Can you imagine? Then she said something like, the president right now is just focused on getting things done. Really? He's focused on getting things done. So Ralph Jarl gets an invite. He's home doing well physically. Everything's good. And these lawmakers who perpetrated an insurrection on the Tennessee State House are invited. But the family of the people that died or the victims that were shot and survived are not invited to the White House. These people are evil, man. They're absolutely awful. Dreadful. I'll tell you who's not, my buddy John Gillette over at Window World. Good folks. I drove by a house yesterday that was getting new windows installed, and it looked like they were doing an okay job, I guess. It was not Window World, but they were blocking the street. The homeowner was out in the yard looking at what was going on. This crane thing was up on the yard, and it was tearing up the yard, and I thought, no, I'm sure they're putting in windows. It's fine, whatever. You want somebody who's really going to do the job right and take great care of you and your property and everything around your property so you don't have mayhem while this is going on? That's Window World. Their customer service is recognized by J.D. Power and Associates again as the best in America in replacement windows, doors, and siding. Window World is the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. They have 0% financing available. And if you see rain coming in with these storms we're having, if water's getting in, you need new windows. Again, they have financing that can help you. 0%. They'll give you plenty of time to pay it off. That's a good deal. These products have a lifetime warranty. They're made in America, and John and his team are outstanding patriots. These are the folks you want working on your home. Trust me, if you need windows, siding, or doors, screen doors, storm doors, or siding on your home, they'll do all of it for you. At Window World, simply the best for less, online at windowworld.com. Tickets for Less. Oh, we got a lot going on here. Taylor Swift, Monster Jam, Tickets for Less has you covered. Kelsey Jam. You want to go to Kelsey Jam Friday night at ticketsforless.com. Get those tickets. That's going to be fun. That's the music hall, right? New Heights Live, the podcast, and musical performances. Ticketsforless.com. Use the promo code KKHI on the checkout page and get extra savings every time you purchase anything. They also have a great special on Taylor Swift tickets right now. With every Taylor Swift ticket purchased for her shows in KC, you get a free VIP tailgate pass to enjoy the best pre-concert event with ticketsforless.com. That includes all-inclusive food and drink. It's near Lot M by the Hy-Vee gate. Nobody else is offering this. They also have tickets to Luke Combs, Beyonce, Billy Joel, Ed Sheeran. Right now, ticketsforless.com. Save with that promo code KKHI. Love those guys. And my buddy Tony called me I called him and he didn't answer, which was surprising because I'll just out him right now. T-Bone's not that busy. Like, you call T-Bone during the day and you figure he's going to pick up. He ain't that busy. He's just not. He's probably on his, if he's not on his workout machine, he's on his phone. If he's not on his phone, he's playing golf. That's it. So when I called him and he didn't answer, I was like, this is weird. And he sends me a text. He goes, give me five. He called me back in 5 minutes. He said, well, I was knee deep down in the basement with the crew. They're doing this. Cross Kitchens is at his house remodeling his man cave. And he's having a blast with it. And he was like, they were asking him questions. Do you want this regressed like this? Do you want this? He's like, I'm busy with these guys, man. I'm so happy for him. He's got something to do. And I haven't swung by yet, but I need to. Maybe I'll do that later today. He says Tim Cross, the owner of the company, has been on the job every day. And the day before I talked to him, which was Wednesday on Tuesday, Tim was there most of the day working with the crew. Like literally sawing things, hammering things, working with the crew, making sure it was all just right. Measuring for the countertops. Here's how your floating shelves are going to be. The owner of the remodeling company is at the job every day. CrossKitchensKC.com. Enough said. On to sports. Here we go. How do you ensure that you get big crowds for the NFL draft? Because I've wondered this. How do you ensure that they go to the draft, fill that hill with thousands of people, and how do you ensure that they stay during the draft till the end? How do you ensure that? Well, we have our answer. The NFL has announced what the entertainment will be after the draft. On Thursday night around 10 o'clock when it concludes, Fall Out Boy is going to play. Fall Out Boy is a pretty big deal. On Friday night, when the draft concludes, Motley Crue is going to perform. Wow, you got your choice between Travis Kelce's show or Motley Crue on Friday night. On Saturday after the draft concludes, which is not nearly as big a deal because not nearly as many people watch on Saturday, Thundercat is playing after the draft. We got Fall Out Boy Thursday, Motley Crue Friday, Thundercat on Friday. I'm guessing there's going to be a whole bunch of people out there watching free on that hill and waiting for the entertainment afterwards. Awesome job, NFL. Way to ensure the crowd that it looks good on TV. That also helps Kansas City look good. Those people are going to stay. They're going to watch those bands. That's pretty cool stuff. Soccer City USA is what some people call Kansas City. We got the World Cup coming. Ooh, damn, we love soccer. We may be as crappy at soccer as we are at baseball. Sporting's no good this year. They weren't any good last year. The KC Current, the team that everybody fakes liking, they get more play in the media than anything I've ever seen that people don't really talk about. Like, has anybody ever come up to you and talked to you about the Current? No, but you see them on the news. You see them on social media. You heard me mention a time or two on this podcast. They're building a downtown stadium. They're 0-3. They were in the title game last year. They were good. They're 0-3 to start the year, and they just fired their head coach. Matt Potter has been fired, and this sounds ugly. This sounds like a lot more than 0-3 because, again, this coach was in the title game last year. Matt Potter, I think, is a biological male, right? Matt Potter is the coach of the women's soccer team KC Current and has been fired, according to ownership, for, quote, leadership and employment responsibilities, unquote, duties that were not performed. Falling short in leadership and employment responsibilities. What the hell is that? Is that lib speak for something that I don't know what that is? It doesn't sound good. Leadership and employment responsibilities. Is there a case here? Was there some ass grabbing? What's going on? Was there, oh no, even worse than ass grabbing. This would be way worse. What if he said things that were offensive? Oh, the spoken word is so much worse than anything else. You can't speak that way. What the heck is this? 0-3 start after being in the title game last year and you're canned? And the quote is leadership and employment responsibilities? What is that? I mean, I guess the coach could be drunk at work. I want to know what this is. You can't just fire this person and not tell us why now. It can't be an 0-3 start. No, the team hasn't been good and they haven't been competitive, but you can't do that. This guy was in the title game last year. You got to tell us if there's something here, we deserve to know. Do we not? You can't just hang this person out there and let people start guessing, oh, what kind of a terrible person is this? This must be a terrible person. Leadership and employment responsibilities. What is that? What kind of vile thing did Matt Potter do to these ladies on this soccer team? Because we put these women on a pedestal. God, I want to see them get a trans on that team so bad and become the leading scorer. You have no idea. I guess we're just as bad at soccer as we are at baseball now, and the Royals are dreadful. We've heard a lot about the plan in Kansas City for a new downtown ballpark. We can scratch off the possibility of the Royals moving to Vegas because the Oakland A's are moving to Vegas, folks. The Oakland A's are moving. They just purchased 49 acres on Dean Martin Drive, right across the freeway from T-Mobile Center, which is the hockey arena there, and about three quarters of a mile north of where the Raiders play in Allegiant Stadium. This is now going to be known as the Sports Corridor. Red Rock Resorts and Station Casinos own 100 acres there. Pretty good real estate. They're going to sell 49 of it to the A's with an option for one more acre for, I don't know what that is. Red Rock Resorts are going to hold back 50 acres for themselves. Clearly, they're building a resort around the ballpark on their 50 acres and will cash in on 81 home games a year. And goodness knows how many baseball tournaments will be played there and events, weddings, concerts. I can't even, this is the easiest, smartest move for the A's ever. The president of the A's said, we need this 20-year saga to end. Yeah, 20 years it's been. So it's two for two, the Raiders and the A's leaving Oakland for Vegas. Now, the president of the A's says, look, this is going to be good for the locals. It's right there on the hotel corridor, which is great for getting in an Uber and getting here, but that's only 30% of our customers. 70% of our customers are going to be local in Vegas, and they all have access from the west to get easy access and the freeway to not drive through the strip and the mayhem of Vegas, so it's perfect. They do most things right in Vegas, and they're killing it here. What do you figure the price tag is? The Royals want $2 billion in Kansas City. The Royals need $2 billion in Kansas City. $2 billion. What will the A's project be in Las Vegas? They've purchased 50 acres of their own land, and they're going to build their own stadium. There's going to be a public-private partnership, and they anticipate being open for opening day in 2027. What do you think their purchase price is? Some of the most expensive real estate right off the strip in America. The Royals want to go downtown. What's it going to cost here, and what are the A's going to spend? The A's are going to do it for $1.5 billion. The Royals want 33% more than that, $2 billion, to build in Kansas City. Wow. What exactly do the Royals do right? What do they do right? The good news is, you want to keep your baseball team? Vegas is off the table. If John Sherman were in this for the money, if he were a real businessman, he'd have jumped the A's on this. When he bought the team a few years ago, he'd have just started on Vegas right away and said, we're out of here. And could have done it. He would have been hated, but you know what? St. Louis hates the dude that took their football team away. And he's a Missourian. Kroenke, that guy wins, by the way, everywhere he goes. His Nuggets are winning now. They're good. Anyway, the A's have a pretty good setup there. I guess I'm not surprised. Our final coming up, and we're going to Hollywood for that. Brought to you by Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC will build your new GM car, truck, SUV, or van. And they do fleet vehicles as well for your company. They're home with a lifetime warranty on all of them. Tim Trader's there every day. I would call Tim personally. He's the general sales manager. Say, I want to build it. I want exactly this. I'm looking for a Chevy Tahoe. I want it in black. I want these wheels. I want the roof. I want all this. Can we build it? And when can it get delivered to my driveway? They'll deliver it wherever you live. Tim's number is 816-826-1563. They got about 100 cars in stock right now. If you'd like to view those online at robertsrobinson.com, they may have the exact one you're looking for, new or pre-owned. But the best way to do it now is build your own vehicle. They'll make this so easy for you. You'll never even have to go to Excelsior Springs. It'll just show up in your driveway when they get it. They'll send a sales rep to show you everything about it, sign the papers electronically. It'll be detailed and beautiful right there for you, ready to go. RobertsRobinson.com or call Tim at 816-826-1563. The Blue Mountain Hotel in Manhattan, Kansas is BlueMountainHotel.com. They also have Goolsby's Indoor Entertainment Center. It's fun. Eat, drink, be merry at Goolsby's and have some fun indoors. Yes, you can. While having a convention or a ball trip or whatever you're doing this summer in the Manhattan area, BlueMountHotel.com is the only place to stay. And this weekend, don't forget Smoke and Fire, 119th and Metcalf. It's a great time to get a new grill. These are the best grills anywhere in the Midwest. It's National Barbecue Month. Smoke and Fire is ready to serve you. Free cover with the purchase of a grill or $75 in free accessories. Check it out right now at Smoke and Fire, the barbecue and fireplace, 119th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Jim and Joan Cotty are there pretty much every day. Tell them Kevin sent you. They're good folks, and they have unbelievably great products at Smoke and Fire. Tell them you listen to KKHI and you've loved listening to Jim through the years on the radio. Our final today is from Hollywood. George Clooney did an interview. He's promoting something. I think he actually was winning an award or something. And they were asking about his career and casting. They're saying, how do you know, casting movies. I think most people would think that George Clooney, the casting, the best casting they ever saw in any movie. I think the best casting I ever saw in any movie, and this is one of probably my top 10 all-time favorite movies, is Ocean's 11. It's just an unbelievably great movie. It's what the movies are, or what they used to be. You've seen it. Everybody's seen Ocean's 11. It's great. And so they're asking George Clooney, and he goes, well, you know, it was funny. The director's name was Steven Soderbergh or something like that, and a lot of people wanted to work with him, but we had some people that didn't like my concept or the concept for this movie that we wanted to be in it that turned us down. Not that we didn't get A-listers. They had Andy Garcia and Matt Damon. There's Brad Pitt. There's A-listers all over this thing. Incredible actors, right? But you won't believe who turned us down. And he's never said this all these years. The character of Linus that Matt Damon played, kind of the nerdy guy that they were kind of teaching to be. And I think they changed Linus's character because Matt Damon took the role. Guess who turned the role down first? Two people turned down Ocean's 11 first. Matt Damon was the third choice for this role. The first person to turn it down was Johnny Depp. The second person to turn it down was Mark Wahlberg. Now, they've done just fine not being in Ocean's 11. Could you imagine if Johnny Depp played that role? Or if you took out one of the guys in there was James Caan's son. He had a smaller role. What if you filled one of those roles with a Wahlberg or Johnny Depp, or Matt Damon played that smaller role and Johnny Depp played Linus? I mean, if you added those to, can you imagine? I mean, it'd be just like the greatest cast of all time. I love Ocean's 11. If you have not seen it, do so. I'm pretty sure you have. If you don't like movies that much and you don't watch movies that much, watch Ocean's 11. Just do. It's just everything a movie should be. It's really, really, really good. And I know a lot of these people are leftists and loons and all that. I don't care. That's a great movie. I've enjoyed it. And I was shocked to hear that Johnny Depp and Mark Wahlberg turned down the opportunity to be in Ocean's 11. Hey, hit that like, follow, or subscribe button, or do me a great favor this weekend. Just one favor. Find a person in your life somewhere that doesn't know about the podcast and tell them about it. Man, you'd be helping out a lot. That'd be awesome. Say, I think you'll like this. If you never listen to a podcast, give it a try. Here's how you do it. Thank you very much for being our warriors out there and helping us spread the word. We greatly appreciate it. Most of all, just thanks for hitting the play button every day and listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.